Chapter 7. "I'd like to see you try," Puck said defiantly. A 6-foot-high circle of fire snaked around the group, trapping them inside. The flames licked at the pots and pans the children had hoped would act as armor, and managed to scorch Sabrina's hand. She pulled it close to her and rubbed the painful burn. "I will roast the flesh from your bones," the face threatened. Dark gray clouds framed the bulbous head in a violent thunderstorm. Lightning crackled around the face, exploding in light and sound with every twitch of its eyebrows. "Who dares to invade my sanctuary?" Sabrina pulled Daphne close to her, while Puck stepped between them and the closest flame, thrusting his little sword into the wall of fire. "We're not invaders. We live here," he shouted over the roaring fire. The face cocked an eyebrow and looked at them sternly. "You're the grandchildren?"
"Yes, Sabrina and Daphne," Sabrina shouted.
"And Puck," Puck chimed in. Suddenly the fire puttered out, as if someone had turned off a stove. "Oh, thank goodness. I thought carnival folk had broken into the house," the head cried. "You can hardly blame me. 3 kids break into my room and they're dressed like escaped inmates from the Fairyport Landing Asylum. You may not have heard, but the whole circus clown meets crazy street vagrant look is so over."
Sabrina looked down at her outfit. The torn, bright blue pants, the orange sweatshirt with the monkey, the pressure cooker lid strapped to her behind. Her face flushed with embarrassment as she took off her spaghetti strainer helmet. "What are you?" Sabrina asked, regaining her composure.
"I'm not a what, I'm a who," the face in the mirror croaked, looking deeply insulted.
"Then who are you?" Sabrina said impatiently.
"Tisk, tisk, tisk.
Why,
I'm the seer of seers, the visionary of visionaries, the man who puts the fun in your reflection,"
he replied with a dramatic flourish. Sabrina looked at her sister for help. Daphne had read more fairy tales than Sabrina, but the little girl returned her sister's glance with a dumbfounded shrug. The face in the mirror frowned, sensing that the girls were far from starstruck, and in fact had no idea who he was.
"I'm the magic mirror," the face snapped.
"We could have guessed you were a magic mirror," Puck muttered.
"Not a magic mirror, the magic mirror, mirror, mirror on the wall."
"From Snow White?" Daphne asked.
"Is there another?" the face growled. "You can call me Mirror. Your grandma told me you were coming from New York City, though she didn't tell me she was giving you a set of keys."
"She didn't. Granny threw hers to us before she was carried off by a giant," Daphne explained.
Mirror's eyes grew wide with astonishment.
"Well, there's a sentence you don't hear every day," he chuckled. "And I suppose you are in the midst of a rescue plan?"
"They are," Puck said defensively. "I'm a villain."
"So let's hear this thrilling plan," said Mirror.
"We haven't got all the details worked out yet," Sabrina said, trying to make herself sound older and more mature.
"You don't have a plan," Mirror exclaimed.
"We're still working on it," Sabrina muttered. "We thought there might be something up here that could help us."
"You're just like Henry," Mirror sighed. "Ready to jump headfirst into an adventure, hoping he'd come up with a plan along the way."
The girl was shocked.
Head first didn't sound like her dad at all. "My dad read the labels on cans of food before everyone could eat," she thought. "You knew our father?" Daphne exclaimed.
"Knew him? I was Henry's babysitter most of the time. I saw him off to the prom. I was even invited to your parents' wedding. They propped me up on my own seat. I am a member of this family, after all."
"Sorry, we didn't mean to offend you," the little girl said. "So, if you're the magic mirror, what do you do?"
"I can show you anything you want to see. All you have to do is ask," Mirror said proudly.
"What are you talking about?" Sabrina asked with growing impatience. All this chatter was keeping them from acting. Who knew what that monster was doing to Granny and Mr. Canis?
You got a question? I got an answer, the face bragged. All you got to do is ask.
Are Granny Relda and Mr. Canis still alive? Daphne asked.
Sorry, kiddo, that's not how it works. You have to ask me the right way.
What's the right way? Sabrina demanded.
Well, if you're going to be cranky, then just forget it,
Mirrors said. He jutted out his lower lip.
Puck swung his carrot peeler menacingly at the face, then realized what he was doing and flashed his little sword. Listen, Mirror, you tell us what we want to know or you're going to find yourself cracked and broken all over the floor.
You wouldn't dare.
Just see if I wouldn't.
Daphne tugged on Puck's arm. Acting as the diplomat for the group, she apologized to Mirror.
We're just very eager to find our granny and Mr. Canis, and we don't understand what you are saying.
The face's expression changed to a huge smile.
Apology accepted. Now, like I was going to say before I was so rudely interrupted, he said as he eyed Sabrina disapprovingly, you have to ask your questions in a special way to activate the magic. You have to
rhyme them,
Daphne interrupted with a happy cry.
Bingo!
The little girl turned to the other two.
We have to rhyme the question, like, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all?
A blue mist filled the mirror's surface, and the face faded away, only to be replaced with the image of the most beautiful woman Sabrina had ever seen. She had black hair, like Daphne's, and flawless porcelain skin. She was standing in front of a classroom teaching. Every boy in the class stared at her like a lovesick puppy, and there was a stack of apples on her desk.
That would still be the lovely Snow White, Mirror said.
Just then, all the students got up from their seats and exited the room. When Snow White was finally alone, she tossed the apples into a garbage can and slid it under her desk.
Okay, how about this? Sabrina said. Mirror, mirror in a beehive, is Granny Relda still alive?
The man in the mirror's face reappeared and he was frowning.
In a beehive?
All you said was it had to rhyme. You didn't say it had to make sense.
Very well,
said the face, and the blue mist returned.
Your grandmother is alive and well, for now.
Where is she? Daphne asked.
Uh-uh, one question at a time, and that one didn't rhyme anyway. Mirror, mirror, we're just kids. Can you show us where our grandma is?
Puck chimed in.
Sorry, that doesn't technically rhyme.
Mirror argued.
It's close enough,
the children shouted. Mirror frowned but missed it over, and suddenly Granny and Mr. Canis appeared in the reflection. They were climbing on top of their car, which was enclosed in what could only be described as a giant bag. Mr. Canis pulled the fabric down, and the two of them looked over the edge. They were still in the giant's shirt pocket.
They're alive,
Daphne sighed with relief as the image zoomed out to show the giant. The ugly brute was asleep, lounging against a huge rock outcropping.
He's up in the mountains, Puck said.
You've probably tossed kids off of that very cliff, Sabrina commented.
A few, Puck agreed, making Sabrina wonder if he was serious. Look at the size of that beast. I'm going to need a bigger sword.
We'll come with you, Daphne said.
You aren't going anywhere, the boy replied. The last thing I need is a couple of girls bawling while I fight the giant. You two are staying here.
What are we supposed to do while that's happening? Sabrina asked.
Women's work. You can clean up that mess in the dining room.
Women's work,
the girl cried.
Oh, you've said it now,
Mirror warned Puck.
If anyone's going up there, it's me. Sabrina declared. I can't expect some smelly kid who lives in the woods to save my grandmother. You couldn't even push me into a pool. You stay here and keep an eye on Daphne, she commanded.
Keep an eye on Daphne?
Daphne repeated indignantly.
I'm not staying here. She's my granny, too.
What you need is someone who has had experience with giants,
Mirror interrupted.
What we need is someone who can kill a giant, Sabrina said.
Like the big bad wolf,
Daphne suggested.
No tougher than that.
I'll do it,
Puck said angrily. It was obvious that the boy was offended at their lack of respect for his fighting skills. Mirror, mirror, what can we do to rescue Granny from you-know-who? Sabrina asked. The mirror misted over once again, and this time when it cleared, the children saw a man sitting in a jail cell. He had a boyish face with spiky blonde hair and big eyes. He was lying lazily on a thin, ratty cot. He got up, walked over to a small window, looked out, pulled on the bars in a hopeless effort to free himself, and when he found them unbendable, scowled and returned to his dingy bed.
"You need the help of Jack, the giant killer," Mirror said, as his face returned to the reflection.
"Jack, the giant killer?" Sabrina asked. "Jack and the Beanstalk," Daphne explained. "He's the same guy."
"That guy sitting in jail has killed giants? I'm not impressed," Puck said, continuing his sulk.
"Granny said he was down on his luck," Sabrina said. "But I didn't think she meant that down.
I guess it'll be easy to find him now."
"We passed the jailhouse on the way to the hospital," her sister pointed out.
"We do not need Jack," Puck fumed.
Suddenly, Elvis barked an angry warning from downstairs. It was followed by several loud knocks on the front door. "Who's that?" Sabrina whispered. "Mirror, mirror, one question more. Who's that knocking on our door?" Daphne asked.
"Now you're getting the hang of it," Mirror said as his face misted over.
Outside of the house, two police cars were parked in the driveway.
"It seems as if the local authorities have arrived."
"Hampstead's here," Sabrina said, as the image revealed the fat sheriff hoisting up a new pair of pants in between angry knocks on the front door. An equally plump deputy with a thick handlebar mustache gestured for Hampstead to walk around the house, and together they did, revealing pink curly tails sticking out of the backs of their beige slacks. "He brought friends," Daphne said, as the image blurred, then reappeared from another angle. Another equally rotund deputy with a shock of bright white hair tucked under his hat walked along the side of the house, trying to find an open window. When he got to the dining room window, he placed his face against it to peer in, only to fall over backward when Elvis lunged at him from the other side. The terrified deputy transformed into a pig, but changed back once he calmed down.
Ferryport's finest, Sheriff Hampstead and his dim-witted deputies, Swinehart and Boar Man, said Mirror.
"I can't believe the three little pigs are working for the bad guy," Daphne sighed.
"I can't believe anyone still calls them the three little pigs," Mirror tittered. "That trio has been tipping the scales for as long as I can remember."
"Look at them. They're no match for us. Why, I could take the three of them by myself," Puck said so excitedly that his wings appeared and he flew off the floor. Sabrina pulled him back down by his sweatshirt sleeve.
"Ladies, this is the police. Open the door,"
the sheriff demanded through a megaphone in a tinny, amplified voice.
"We can stay out here all night if we have to."
"What do we do?" Daphne asked.
"Nothing. They can't get in here," Puck replied.
"But we can't get out. We're trapped," Sabrina said, worried.
"What is this nonsense I'm hearing from you?" Mirror said. "You two are Grimms. Performing the impossible is what you do. Do you think your family could have survived this long with ogres and monsters running around if they couldn't find a way out of their own house?"
"Okay, you're so smart, you tell us what to do," Sabrina snapped. "We came up here because we're looking for some help. Now there are cops outside who want to arrest us, and worse, who are keeping us trapped in here so we can't get out and save our grandmother and her best friend, who have been kidnapped by a giant."
"You're asking for my help?"
"Yes. Do we have to rhyme it, too?"
"Not at all. Ask, my little wardrobe-challenged friends, and you shall receive," the face said. "I need your keys."
"What? Why?" Sabrina asked.
"Do you want some help or not? Give me the keys."
The reflection warped, and a portion of the mirror's surface grew outward, as if someone were blowing a bubble from the other side. It pushed out farther and farther, causing the reflection to shimmer and ripple until a hand was thrust through. Even Puck seemed unsettled by what he was seeing.
"Come on, girl, I don't have all night," Mirror complained. Sabrina put the keys into the hand, and it disappeared into the bubble.
"I'll be right back,"
the face said as it vanished, and the surface of the mirror flattened, returning to normal. After several moments, the face reappeared.
"I've got just the thing for you,"
Mirror said with a smile. Again, the surface of the glass rippled, and this time a dusty, rolled-up carpet came through. Once it had completely broken the surface, the carpet fell to the ground, where it unrolled before them. Dazzling burgundy and gold threads formed an intricate pattern of symbols, moons, stars, flowers, sickles and triangles, which seemed to shimmer as if they were woven from precious metal. Golden roped tassels hung from the carpet's edges. Sabrina thought it was the most beautiful rug she had ever seen.
"What's this?" Daphne said, stepping on the carpet.
Suddenly, it lifted off the floor and hovered in the air. The movement was so quick that Daphne fell onto her backside.
"It flies!"
"Just a little thing your grandpa picked up during a trip to the Middle East. Maybe you've heard of Aladdin," Mirror said proudly. "This is his flying carpet. Thought it might be the best thing for your little rescue mission. Just tell it the location of where you want to go, and it'll get you there, even if you don't know how to get there yourself."
"How do I make it go down?" Daphne asked, giggling.
But no sooner had the question left her lips than the carpet fell to the ground, causing Daphne's armor to clang on the floor.
"When you're finished with it, I expect you to return it," said Mirror sternly, as Granny's keys came back through the surface and fell to the ground.
Sabrina picked them up.
"But how are we going to get out of the house?" Sabrina asked.
"Listen, cowgirl, I can't do it all for you. From what I hear, you're quite the expert at being sneaky. I suggest you cause a diversion," Mirror said.
"With what?"
"I don't know. What could possibly distract three pigs enough so that you could get away?"
Sabrina thought for a moment and then grinned.
"I know exactly what to do."
The girls carried the carpet down the stairs and into the kitchen, where they laid it on the floor. They removed their armor, and Sabrina opened the refrigerator. Granny's odd and abundant cooking filled the shelves. It would take an army to eat it all. The girls pulled out pies, cakes, oddly colored fruits, and several things Sabrina couldn't identify, and tossed them onto the carpet. Elvis sat by, drooling with hunger, obviously wondering what they were doing.
"Is this enough?" Daphne asked.
"I hope so," Sabrina answered. "Carpet up!" The carpet rose to her waist and hovered next to her. "Come," she commanded. And the carpet followed them as they walked to the front door. Daphne peeked out the window.
"They're sitting on the hoods of their squad cars," she said. "Puck, are you ready?"
The boy entered the foyer. He had finished taking off the last of his own kitchen gear and now pulled a small flute from his sweatshirt pocket.
"You don't have to ask the trickster king if he is ready," he said arrogantly.
"I'm ready," Daphne said to Sabrina.
"But are you sure about this? The police are after us. Do you think going to the jailhouse is the smartest thing?"
"I don't see any other way," Sabrina said as she opened up the front door. Hampstead scrambled off the car hood.
"Finally, you two have come to your senses," he said, as he and his deputies approached the house.
Sabrina looked down at the carpet full of food hovering next to them.
"Carpet, go to the policeman," she said.
The carpet rose into the air and floated gently toward Hampstead and his men, and as it got closer, it began to have the effect Sabrina had hoped for.
"Food,"
one of the deputies squealed as the carpet stopped at their feet. The smell of the cakes and pies sent a change through the two men, and soon both were in pig form, rooting wildly through the banquet the girls had built on the rug.
"Gentlemen, we have work to do here,"
Hampstead shouted, while eyeing a pan of baked beans the others had overlooked. Unable to resist, he quickly shapeshifted to his pig form and slopped around in the mess. Puck hovered several feet in the air near the girls, clearly displeased with Sabrina's success. Daphne looked up at him and smiled.
"We couldn't do this without you," she said, earning a grumpy shrug.
As soon as Jack tells us how to stop that giant, we're going to need you to lead us again." The boy puffed up with pride, and a huge smile sprang to his face. He winked at Daphne, and then zipped across the front yard until he was hovering directly over the squad cars. The gorging piggies didn't even notice him. Sabrina, Daphne, and Elvis stepped out of the house, closing the door behind them. With nimble fingers, Sabrina went to work locking all the bolts on the door, while Daphne kept an eye on Hampstead and his men.
"They're disgusting," Daphne said, mimicking the pigs grunting and oinking.
"Okay, that's the last one," Sabrina said, inserting the final key. She turned it and heard the lock roll into place.
"Ready?"
she asked, pulling up the zipper on her sister's jacket.
"Ready."
Sabrina turned to the pigs.
"Carpet here,"
she shouted. Abruptly, the carpet pulled itself out from under the three pigs, sending them topsy-turvy and flopping across the yard. The food flew into the air and rained down on them with a great splat as the carpet itself glided across the yard and stopped at Sabrina's feet.
"Get them!"
Hampstead shouted as he struggled onto his hoofs and then back into his human form. The deputies followed suit, and in no time, they were all running toward the girls.
"Excuse me, piggies,"
Puck called from above. He blew a low note on his flute, and within seconds, a wave of pixies flew out of the woods. He played another note, and the little lights encircled the two parked squad cars.
"You know what to do,"
Puck called to the pixies. And they went into action, effortlessly lifting each car. They carried them high over the house and into several large trees, where they squeezed them between the thick branches. The police officers snorted their protests, but the boy just laughed. The plan was working, and it was time for the girls to go. They stepped onto the carpet.
"Hold on tight. We haven't actually ridden on this thing," Sabrina said.
She and Daphne knelt down and each grabbed a side of the carpet. Elvis hopped on too, and Daphne wrapped her free arm around his neck.
"Don't worry, Elvis. I've got you,"
the little girl said. The police had stopped watching the pixies steal their cars and were now closing in on the sisters. They were almost on top of them when Sabrina shouted,
"Up!"
and the carpet rocketed into the sky. The girls held on for their dear lives as the house, the yard, and even their street became smaller and smaller. Sabrina's stomach lurched as they found themselves shooting through a cloud.
"Carpet down!"
she said, as the oxygen began to seep from her lungs. Just as quickly as the carpet rose, it fell. Daphne's pigtails lifted from the side of her head and floated next to her ears as the girls screeched back toward Earth, falling like a rock.
"Carpet, stop!"
Sabrina cried, inches before the carpet smashed onto the ground. She gasped with relief. Unfortunately, they had stopped right behind the three police officers, who were still searching the sky for the girls.
"Wait, we've forgotten something," Daphne cried. "Carpet, take us to the front door."
"No!" Sabrina shouted, but it was too late. The magic carpet zipped off again, this time plowing into the group of portly police and knocking them down like bowling pins.
"What are you doing?"
she demanded as the carpet screeched to a halt at the door of Granny's house.
"There's one more lock,"
Daphne said. She knocked on the door three times.
"We'll be back."
But the detour had given Hampstead and his men the time they needed to recover, and they now had the carpet surrounded. Hampstead grabbed one of the tassels and smiled.
"Okay, fun time is over, ladies," he said.
"Let go of the carpet,"
Sabrina demanded. Elvis echoed her protest with a low growl.
"Not a chance, girls. Now let's head down to the station and..."
"I said let go of the carpet."
"What are you going to do to make me?"
Hampstead scoffed. Sabrina and Daphne exchanged glances. Daphne tightened her grip on the carpet and gave an extra squeeze to Elvis at the same time.
"Carpet up!"
The carpet shot into the sky, carrying the girls, Elvis, and a stubborn Hampstead with it. Hanging on with one hand, the sheriff desperately tried to climb on board as they soared high above the house.
"Take us down right now,"
he squealed. Sabrina peeked over the side and smirked. I'm sorry, Sheriff, but you don't have a ticket for this flight. I'm afraid you're going to have to get off at the next stop. Carpet, we have an unwanted passenger. Get rid of him. The carpet bolted forward, as if thrilled with the request. It zipped up and down and did wide loop-de-loops that made Sabrina want to barf. She looked over at Daphne and Elvis, who both sat calmly on the carpet.
If you just let go, it's a real easy ride, Daphne shouted over the whipping wind.
But Sabrina wasn't convinced and held on tightly. A small beetle flew into her mouth and she spit it out, gagging.
A bug flew in my mouth, Sabrina croaked.
Daphne patted her hand sympathetically. Unfortunately, Hampstead was still very much a passenger.
Let go,
Sabrina shouted again. But the sheriff shook his head defiantly. Displaying its own stubbornness, the carpet darted over the house and began to skim the top of the forest. Hampstead smacked into limbs and skittered across the treetops.
I'm not going anywhere,
he shouted as the carpet found an opening in the forest and dove into it like a kamikaze pilot. Sabrina was sure the carpet was going to sacrifice them all to get rid of its unwanted rider. But just as it seemed they would all be splattered across the forest floor, the carpet leveled out and dragged Hampstead directly over some thorny bushes. Motivated by the pain, the sheriff struggled once more to climb on board. Elvis barked at him as Daphne tried to pry his fingers from the carpet's tasseled corner.
Carpet, do something, she cried.
The carpet soared between several trees and zipped along a rocky stream. It lowered itself to mere inches above the water, dragging Hampstead along the muddy banks and finally shaking him loose. He tumbled into the mud and sank up to his nose. The carpet darted back and hovered above him. The sheriff crawled out of the muck, covered in swamp goo. A small frog leaped from his shirt pocket as he wiped filth from his eyes. As the girls darted away on the carpet, Sabrina could hear Boar Man and Swineheart rushing to their boss's aid.
Boss, what are you fooling around in the mud for?
Boar Man asked.
Shut up!
The girls soared out of the forest and high into the sky. There, Puck met them and flew alongside, laughing at the sheriff's misfortune.
You keep them busy, Sabrina shouted,
and the boy's mood darkened. Daphne pinched her sister.
You have to talk to him like he's the leader. He needs to feel that he's important, Daphne whispered.
Sabrina was stunned by her sister's perceptiveness.
Sorry, Puck. I know you can handle them, and we'll be back soon with all the information you will need,
Sabrina said awkwardly.
We know you could kill the giant yourself right now, but a little insider information never hurts.
Again, Puck puffed up with pride.
Of course, probably a waste of time, but who knows? By the way, there's one more cop you have to deal with when you get there.
Who? Daphne asked.
A nervous little man named Ichabod Crane.
Not the guy from Sleepy Hollow, Sabrina said.
That's him. Since he nearly lost his head, he gave up teaching and became a cop. I guess his idea is that he's safer if he's around the police. He shouldn't be too much of a problem,
Puck said, turning in midair and soaring away.
How did you know that we could get him to do whatever we want if we pretended he's in charge?
Sabrina asked Daphne.
It's what I do with you, the little girl replied. You two are exactly the same.
Carpet, take us to Jack, Sabrina said, after she had stuck her tongue out at her sister. The carpet darted on and glided above the little town. For the first time, Sabrina could see Ferryport Landing for what it really was, quaint. To the east of the town, the moon shone on the curve of the Hudson River, and old gas lamps lined the paths of a park along the water. More lights twinkled in the center of the town, where dozens of brownstone buildings clustered around Main Street. Sabrina could see people having a late supper in the railway car diner and a last movie playing at the drive-in theater. Far off to the west of town, she could just make out the humped shapes of the tree-blanketed mountains. As they got closer to Main Street, the carpet began to descend, dropping nearly a dozen feet at once and causing Sabrina's belly to flip. She looked at her sister and saw that she had wrapped her arms around Elvis and was squeezing the air out of the poor dog. They plummeted through the clouds, the girls screaming as the wind screeched past them. But just as they were feet from crashing onto the pavement, Sabrina managed to shout, "Carpet, stop!" And the carpet screeched to a halt. It took them several moments to realize that they hadn't died and that they were still screaming. When they had calmed down, Sabrina looked around and saw that they were floating next to the window of a brick building. It had bars on it. Suddenly, a boyish-looking head with spiky blonde hair appeared. It was Jack. He had beautiful blue eyes and a round face with a button nose. But he looked tired and in desperate need of a shave. He also had a painful-looking fat lip that had specks of dried blood around it.
"What is going on out there? Can't a man get some rest when he's in prison?"
he shouted in a thick English accent. When he saw the girls, he lifted himself higher in order to see what they were standing on. Then he smiled.
"Well, young ladies, who might you be?"
"Are you Jack?" Sabrina asked.
"That's the name I was given," he replied with a chuckle.
"The Jack?" Daphne asked. "As in Jack and the Beanstalk?"
"Indeed I am, Duck. But, as you can see, I'm a little indisposed to be signing autographs."
He laughed. "We need your help," Daphne cried.
"Well, I don't know if you happen to have noticed, but this isn't a country club I'm relaxing in. This is the county jail. Unless you need some help making license plates, I think you've got the wrong bloke."
"We need your help with a giant," Sabrina said. Jack's eyes grew wide, and a smile briefly lit up his features. Then he grew terribly serious and pulled his face closer to the bars.
"A giant, you said?"
"He's taken our grandmother," Sabrina replied. "And we want her back," Daphne added.
"Well, I don't blame you," the young man said.
"But exactly how does a human go about getting themselves in trouble with a giant?" "We're Sabrina and Daphne Grimm. Our grandmother is..."
"Relda Grimm," Jack interrupted with a smirk. "I should have guessed. Went and got herself in trouble with a big boy, eh?"
"Yes, she and Mr. Canis both," Daphne said.
"Canis, eh? Can't say I feel sorry about that," Jack growled. "So, what do you want from me?"
"We were told you were an expert on giants," Sabrina answered. "We need you to tell us everything you can about how to stop this one and save our family."
"It's true. I am an expert on the big boys. Killed nearly 50 of them in my day," Jack boasted.
"The books said it was less than 20, Daphne said.
"Don't believe everything you read, Duck," said Jack. "I've sent more than my fair share of big boys to the grave. Well, there was a time when people used to call me Jack the Giant Killer. I was famous, oh yes. My name was once synonymous with bravery and daring. That was until the spell that trapped me in this balmy town."
"What does balmy mean?" Daphne whispered to her sister. Sabrina shrugged. She was having trouble keeping up with Jack's accent.
"Now, I'm taking any work I can. Do you know what the mighty Jack does for a living?"
Sabrina began to get nervous as the young man's face filled with rage. She knew the answer to his question, but thought it best to lie.
"No, I don't.
I sell shoes and suits at Harold's House of Big and Tall," Jack exploded. "A lowly sales boy. I sat with kings. I drank with the finest wines in the world. I filled my belly with exotic meats and socialized with the world's most interesting people. And now, because of that cursed spell that keeps us here, I spend my days measuring inseams and helping people pick out insoles."
"We're sorry," Daphne said.
"At least that's what I used to do. Today, I quit," Jack bragged. "I have a feeling Jack the Giant Killer's luck is going to change."
"So how did you end up in jail?" Sabrina asked.
"That miserable cur Charming," Jack raged, "runs this town like it's his own personal kingdom and wants to keep the rest of us as peasants."
"Did he give you the fat lip?" asked Sabrina.
"No. I had a disagreement with some business associates," Jack said, wiping his wound with a bloody handkerchief. "No worries. You can't keep a bloke like me down, can you? No siree, Bob. You can count on that.
Jack, I hate to interrupt, but we've really got to hurry. Is there anything you can tell us that will help? Sabrina said.
Oh, I'm going to be a big help to you ladies, he said with a confident grin. Just as soon as the two of you break me out of jail.